Blog Talk Radio.
Always. I'm excited as always because we're in for a great show today. And before we do anything, I want to start it off just like we always do with a word of prayer. So if you're out there listening, I ask you to just bow your head. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you, first of all, Father God, for right now, for this day that you've allowed us to see, for this time, God, that you've blessed us to come to see, Father God. We ask you just watch over us now, Father God. Watch over us in this moment, God. We ask you for forgiveness for all of our sins, all of our wrongdoings, all of the things, Lord, that's not like you, Lord. As you just bless this show, Father God, bless everything that's said on the show, Lord, everything that's done, Father God, all those who hear the show, God, ask you to allow them to hear you and not me, Lord, to hear you and not my guest, Lord, not Simeon, not the host, Father God, and ask you just to help them to come to know you better, help someone to come to know you better, Lord, to surrender their life to you, Father God, to accept you into their hearts, Lord, to draw closer to you to get a better understanding of your word and your will, God. You just speak through us as only you can, God. And I ask that everything, Lord, is done that's pleasing to you, Father God. And just do your thing, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, like I said before, I'm excited about the show today. And we're going to actually flip the script a little bit today. I got my man Simeon Witten, Mr. Dugrady himself, on with me. What's up, Sim?
What up, hey?
Oh, man, you know, everything good. Copacetic over here. But I got my man Simeon Witten on. I've had him on before. And just a little brief recap on Simeon and I's relationship. You know, he's like a brother to me. You know, I've known him growing up, all through high school. We were cool by association through one of our mutual friends. Shout out D-Rob, what's up, man? But we were cool by association, and we got really close over the last year and a half, I would say, and really more so after I accepted Christ. And Simeon was always a model Christian, I would say, in my eyes, not in the sense of he did everything right, but He didn't do what I knew to be wrong. And in that sense, he was recruiting me to Christ. And we've grown closer over the years. And, you know, on tonight, he is going to be the guest host of The Recruit. So it's not The Recruit. Like I said, this show is about all of us. We're all recruiters for Christ. And so tonight is The Recruit with Simeon Witten. And so, it's all yours, Sim.
Man, I appreciate that, eh? What up, world? No, man, I really do appreciate, man, this opportunity. It's a privilege, man. It's an honor, man, to, you know, do what you do every Thursday, man. You know, interview guests and, you know, and really expound on, you know, God's greatness, man. So, man, big shout out to you. Man, like Adrian said, man, we've been knowing each other for like the last for a long time, but actually really known each other for like the last year and a half. And, man, he's been a big influence on my life, so much so I put him in my wedding, man. So, go ahead.
I said, and you're in mine.
Oh, yep. That's true. A couple months. But, man, Adrian is such a great example of what it means to be a young man who has a love for God. over the last year and a half, man, it seemed like he's been on the winning streak, man. He done started a blog. He done started his radio show. You know, he's going to get married. You know, got the condo. You know, he got it going, man. And that's kind of where I want to start at, man. You know, on the outside looking in, man, it's so easy to look at you and just say, man, this dude got everything going, man. It's been coming easy, man. He got a D1 scholarship out of high school. You know, he marrying, the girl that he loves. And, and he, you know, all these things are going great for you. So I would want to say, you know, what do you feel like has been the biggest obstacle for you in your life? You know.
Well, I would say, just up until this point, one of the toughest things that I had to really deal with and actually get past was not making it to the NFL, not making it to the league. And I say, you know, some might say, man, I know it, that's not the hardest thing, but that's one of the toughest things that I had to really get past because I had so much weight put on making it to the league. And that's yeah. all I had ever dreamed about. And that was, you know, my number one goal was I'm going to make it to the league. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But everything started and finished with me making it to the league. And that's probably the – it took time for me to really accept that, okay, I'm not there. And, you know, I may not ever be there. And it's hard for me to even say that I'll never be there because I don't want to feel like I'm limiting God because I don't know what God is. I can be a 30-year-old rookie and win Rookie of the Year. Y'all look out. But I don't know. But at the end of the day, I'm not there now, and that's something that's the reality of it. And that was so hard for me because, like I said, I didn't realize, but a lot of my identity was wrapped up in that, in just who I was or who I planned on being. Not even so much who I was currently in football, but who I planned on being. All the people I planned on helping through football. And so it was hard when it didn't come about the way that I planned it and I had always visualized. Because, like I said, everything that I wanted to do and I wanted to help so many people and give back and do this and do that, it all started and finished with football. And when
You kind of looked at that as a platform to help others pretty much then, right?
I did. I looked at it as a platform to help others. But, you know, in hindsight, I realized how I wanted to help others, but that wasn't at the forefront of why I wanted to do it or why I wanted to make it. The more so the root of the heart of it all was I wanted the fame. I wanted people to know me. I wanted to be famous, and I wanted the glory. And, you know, even though after all of that, I was going to help everybody. I'd do any and everything, but I wanted that first. I wanted the glory. I wanted the fame. And, I mean, I see now how, you know, that's the reason why it didn't come to pass, because it was all built on the wrong thing. It wasn't centered and built on Christ. And it was bound to fall eventually, but God didn't even allow the groundwork to take place. And you know, I would definitely say that's probably one of the hardest things that I've had to overcome up until this point.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that. You know that you feel like that's one of the reasons it didn't come to pass, because, you know, you didn't have your priorities right. You know, you were more seeking your own glory, your own shine to begin with, rather than, you know, the right way to do it, giving God the glory. And, you know, I feel like so many people go about it that way. You know, even me, most of our ambitions, most of our goals in life are selfish, you know. I mean, we may try to throw a little, you know, a little bit on top and say, oh, yeah, I'm trying to help someone else, or I'm doing it for a bigger cause. But, you know, a lot of times it is rooted at, oh, man, how can I get my shine? And a lot of times you can look back at it, you know, that may have been a blessing that it didn't happen that way, because you see so many athletes nowadays, and they go down that same path of, you know, glorify themselves. And I remember one time growing up, my pastor said, anyone that exalts themselves is surely going to come to a fall. So, man, you know, that could have been a blessing in disguise, you know.
And I definitely look at it like that, and I understand it to be just that. Because just like you said, you see all these athletes, and you see a lot of athletes. I won't say all, but you do see a lot of athletes who build things up on not on Christ, not on God, and everything around self, and it's self-glorifying. And in the long run, like you said, it falls. But and I think about it, and I notice, like, there's a lot of ex-athletes who become preachers after the fact.
Yeah.
Or who go around and they travel, and they may not necessarily be a preacher, but they're so dedicated to Christ after the fact. After all of the glory, after all of the parties and all of this and all of that, it's like, you know, they went through it, and they lost it. Not saying they lost everything they had, but they lost that fame and that glory, and it's like now it's almost easier to serve God because it's not. I can only think that it's not as much pulling on you. You know, it's not pulling on you to do this and do that. But for me, in my case, God didn't allow that to be the case. He didn't allow me to go through it and experience. He allowed me not to experience, to show me, hey, you need me from the jump.
Yeah.
I don't back around later on and say, oh, God, I was tripping back then. He opened my eyes to it now, and he didn't allow those things to come to pass. And, you know, now I can sit and really be thankful for it. I can be thankful for it. I wouldn't trade it for the world because I honestly can say that I really don't think I would have found Christ as soon as I did, at least, had I made it to the league when I planned on doing it.
Man, that's a big statement.
I mean, and that's just the honest truth because I had plans of things I wanted to do. You know, I never planned on, you know, running around on my wife. I wanted to get married, you know, have a family, be faithful to my wife. I wanted to be that guy who broke the stereotype of athletes, you know, messing around. I wanted to be that guy, but at the same time, I had all these other stuff lined up I wanted to do. Before I got married, I was like, okay, I'm going to hit the club, though. And, you know, I already know, you know, I wanted to be, I'm like, man, I love Houston. I'm going to make sure I come back to Houston. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and buy this and buy that. And, you know, doing those things, I can only imagine how much further away it would have pushed me from God and from the church than I already was. And so that's, you know, not making it to the NFL, that was definitely one of the hardest things that I've had to get over. Now that I am past that and kind of have dealt with it, I'm able to really breathe easy and rest where I am and be content.
Yeah. And see, I think that's, I know a lot of times with men, that's one of the hardest things to do, come to grips with something that you kind of put all your eggs in the basket for, you know, give your pretty much your whole life work for until that point to something, and then to be able to, you know, walk away from it and let it go without feeling like you fulfilled it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of to piggyback off that, like, What do you feel got you to that point where you came to the point and said, you know what, this is not the path I'm going to go. I know I worked my whole life for this. This is what I really wanted, but this is not where I'm going to go. What led you to that? What led you to accepting that?
And it was a long process, man. It was a couple of years because, you know, even the year that I came out of college, I graduated college, you know, first of all, my senior year, I tore my shoulder and ended my season first conference game. And so my season was cut short and my career, was my college career was done. And that same year was a lockout year. And so that was another hurdle on top of that. Like, okay, I don't have game film and I'm hurt. And so, and it's a lockout. And so all of that, and just looking at all of the circumstances, or going through training and doing all of this, and then when the lockout was lifted, not getting called, picked up by a team. And, you know, I still kept fighting, kept working out, kept fighting for my dreams and going through and doing all that and did Canadian tryouts and doing all this. And it went on for probably 2 to 3 years after I graduated. And then I really started looking at it and, you know, I got saved a year, August 5th. 2011, August 5th, like 4 years. I got saved in August. That was about 9 months after I had finished school. And so I got saved. Even after getting saved, I was still chasing my dream. And just as my prayer life increased And as I grew in my relationship with Christ and really started seeking what he had for me to do and praying that prayer, God, you know, lead me to what you have for me to do. Open doors for what you have me to walk into. And he did just that. And none of those doors led to football. I mean, none of those doors led me to football. Everything led me to move to Rockwall and then to work at the gym where I am at Studio Fitness in Rockwall. I got to throw that little plug in there. But everything was opening up everywhere else outside of my dream of football and the NFL. And it's like once I sat back and really paid attention to it and thought about it, I'm like, well, God, here I am praying and asking you to open doors for me, and you are. But none of them are leading to what I was wanting. And so after realizing, okay, these are the doors God is opening because I couldn't have done this on my own. After realizing that, I just had to come to grips. That's when I really came to grips with, okay, that's not what God has for me to do right now because he's not opening doors for me. It's getting harder and harder to get in. And nothing's, when God opens the door, you just walk right in. And there was no way I was walking into the NFL. And so seeing those doors not opening, that's when I came to grips of, okay, this is not God's will for me right now. And I couldn't do anything but accept it. Because, you know, we always say that any door that God opens, no man can close. But on the flip side, any door that God closes, no man can open. And it's like God had closed those doors, so it did me no good to try to open them and pry them open myself.
Yeah. Man, like I say, man, that is a powerful testimony, man, because I know people that still to this day struggle with, you know, with their childhood dreams that they had and not letting them go. And me being one of them, you know, because one day you feel like, man, okay, I'm going to really make this happen. And the next thing you're going to say, well, that's not God's will. And you know, that can be a tug of war a lot of times, man. Once, at some point you can just say, like, man, I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. And that's going to make me happy, you know, because that's what the world tells you to do. No, do what makes you happy, man. And if it doesn't work, man, keep doing it. You know, but, you know.
Don't give up.
Exactly. But that ain't always what the Bible says. It don't always line up with God's will for you. And I feel like sometimes that could be the worst message that we can give to our youth is just do what makes you happy, you know. Because it can lead you down so many other wrong paths, man.
And I agree. And because just like you said, everything that makes us happy isn't necessarily in line with God's will. And we can't rely on feelings because feelings change every single day.
Yeah.
And God's word tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yeah. So we can't tie that with feelings, knowing that feelings change every day. And, you know, I agree. You know, that's exactly right. That's what we've always heard, me and you included. You know, go for what you know. Do what makes you happy. Don't quit. Keep fighting.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's a lot of people still fighting for their dreams when God has really cemented those doors shut.
Yeah.
But they're leading to try to pry them open, and it's leading to a life of unfulfillment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. Well, I mean, so we tackled your biggest obstacle, man. So I want to hit them on the flip side, man. You know, like I say, for the most part, since I've been hanging around you like the last year and a half, I feel like you always be winning. You know, you're always on a winning streak. You always find a dollar on the ground or something.
I'm still looking for that dollar.
So, okay, well, to this date, what do you feel like is your biggest accomplishment, you know, in your life?
My biggest accomplishment to this day, you know, there's actually two, I would say, but you know, one would have to be this show. And my reason for saying that is because it's nothing that I wanted to do. It's nothing that I ever planned on doing. You know, like I said before, going to the league, playing football, that was always my plan. Or maybe not even football, you know, before football was basketball, but even with basketball, my plan was always to make it to the league, and then I'll go from there. And so doing this show, it really took me stepping out on faith and trusting God to be able to do it because I didn't know anything about it. You know, nothing about radio, nothing about how to do it. I never took an interest in radio and never wanted to do a show, but God opened the door. And in recognizing how God opened the door, just like I said before, when I was pursuing football, no doors were opening. And so, but I walked into the doors that God was opening. And with this radio show, that door came wide open for me. And with Pete Richardson, shout out Pete, but with Pete, hit me up, and he had been doing his radio show for a couple of years, and I had been a guest on a couple of times within about a year's span, and he reached out to me one day and asked me if I would be interested in doing a show on his network. And my first thought was no. I don't want to do that. Nope, ask somebody else. And, you know, I had my little Moses moment. My fiance pointed that out to me later on. But, you know, that was my first thought. And then I stopped myself a couple of minutes after and just was praying, you know, God, if this is your will, then I'll do it. And it's like after really saying yes to the opportunity and not even saying yes to the opportunity, but saying yes to God, being available to whatever God wanted me to do, even if it was this radio show, just making myself available to God, then that's when the ideas started coming for the show, how to do it. That's when connections started coming, even reaching out to you because, you know, you gave me a lot of ideas, a lot of great ideas. And from my fiance, Michonne, and she gave me a lot of great ideas and just different people and just hearing things, random things, whether it's commercial or videos on YouTube, like ideas, God started putting it in front of my eyes. And, you know, I look at that like that is a huge accomplishment because it took me having faith in God and what I knew God was doing and the door I knew God was opening in order to step in. And so that's one of my greatest accomplishments up to this point.
I want to hit that part right there a little bit. Because
go ahead.
I just remember this time when you, before you had the radio show, and I remember, you know, you kept, every time you get on the phone, you're like, man, I want faith like Peter. You know, you kept saying, I want to walk on water. You just kept saying it. And then the radio thing came to, you know, like you said, no experience, like no desire necessarily, but it was going to require like all your faith. So it was just amazing to see that, you know, that faith like Peter had actually take effect, you know, actually to see what it looked like in today's terms for you. So that was a blessing, man, for no one else, for me. So,
and that's exactly it, man. You know, and I forget about that a lot. You know, that was my prayer at that moment. That's still my prayer, you know, to have great faith. But that was my prayer at that moment, to have faith like Peter. And, you know, I examined that Peter walking on water, and I read up on Peter, everything he did, and how he was bold in doing it. And, you know, there's so many times in Scripture and reading up on Peter where it didn't just say he spoke God's word. It specifically said he boldly did it.
Yeah.
Boldly spoke. And, you know, that's what God needs, bold Christians, bold recruiters for him. And, you know, in seeing that and realizing that, looking back on it later on, I'm like, well, this is exactly what I've been praying for. When Peter walked on water, he didn't know. He stepped out on faith, literally. He stepped out on God telling him to come. And that's all he focused on was, okay, God, you told me to come, so regardless of what this looked like under my feet, I'm walking. I'm walking to you. And that's what God opened my eyes to, what he was doing with the radio show. He was giving me an opportunity to put feet to my faith. Because that's literally what Peter did. He put feet to his faith and he walked. And so with this show, God gave me an opportunity to put feet to my faith and walk it out. I mean, I've been praying about this forever. I've been praying about this exact thing, this opportunity, but it just came in an unexpected way. But if
that's,
it would have came.
That's the crazy thing about it, man. A lot of times the thing that we pray like night and day for, when it comes, we don't even recognize it a lot of times. It's like, man, you know what? Until we in it. Like, you know what? I did pray for this.
Yeah. And That's like you said, that's the crazy thing, because that's exactly what I was praying for. And it wasn't that I was praying for the radio specifically, but for the radio show specifically, but I was praying for an opportunity to trust God.
Yeah.
And if God gave, it wouldn't have been an opportunity to trust him if it was something I had been planning on.
Yeah.
And that's the simple truth that comes with that, that was attached to that, that here I am praying for God to allow me to have faith. And faith is nothing more than believing without seeing. But if it was something that I had already seen, already been seeing in my mind, it wouldn't have took faith to step out on it.
Yeah.
And so God had to do it in a way that I didn't see it coming. I hadn't been looking for it. I hadn't been expecting it. And, you know, one of my mentors, Coach Clyde, he told me in before, a couple years ago, he was like, with God, you should always expect unexpected blessings. Because that's how God works. He works unexpectedly. If he did everything according to our expectations, then we wouldn't need God. I mean, it requires no faith. But, you know, doing this show, it took all the faith I had to do it. Because, like I said, I didn't know. I didn't know how to do it. I never wanted to. But, you know, the other thing that I would say that is one of my biggest accomplishments up until this point is proposing to my fiance, Michonne. And, you know, I say that because it's, you know, like I said, getting married, that's always something I plan on doing. And but it was kind of like I looked at being saved. Growing up, I looked at being saved as something I knew I was going to do, but I was going to do it later on after I did what I wanted to do. And when I felt like, okay, I'm ready to settle down. I'm good now. And, you know, that's kind of how I had viewed marriage, you know. That's something I was going to do later on. But after getting saved and really, you know, trying to walk and live the way God's word told me to, and, you know, praying for a wife, praying for a godly woman, and then God doing just that, putting it in my face. And, you know, I had been praying about it, and I prayed hard about proposing. Like, hard. I prayed real hard. So I was praying about it, and praying about everything, you know, the timing and down to the ring. And I was praying about the ring, and God, you know, presented opportunities for me to get a ring before I expected it, for a deal to where I could afford it. And it was like, okay, God, you're opening these doors for everything to fall into place. Now it's like the ball's in my court.
Yeah.
And so that was another moment, just like doing a radio show, where I had to step out on faith because God had lined everything up for me. And it was just up to me to trust him. And in doing that, you know, since getting engaged, it's been great. You know, there's been some rocky moments. There's been a lot of learning, a lot of dying to tell. And, you know, you can speak to that, too. You're married. There's been a lot of dying to self and a lot of, you know, looking in the mirror, having to look in the mirror and realizing that, hey, I'm selfish. I thought I used to give every, I would give the shirt off my back. But, you know, just really dying to self. But since getting engaged and really stepping out on faith and trusting God and proposing, it's been amazing. And I'm looking forward to marriage and just doing it God's way, doing everything I can to do it God's way. And so those two things have been probably my greatest accomplishments up until this point, this radio show and proposing to my beautiful fiance, Michonne.
Man, you racking up on the brownie points, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, man, I know she's going to listen later.
That's for real. Man, but I will say, man, about both of y'all, man, like, I'm thankful for the way that, you know, me and my wife, Stephanie, how our relationship went, man. But just to kind of see, you know, you and Michonne, how y'all, from dating and even up to the proposal to now, man, it's been, I feel like, a great example for anyone who is thinking about marriage or thinking about dating to watch, man, because y'all been, not to say that y'all been perfect, but man, every time I talk to you about, you know, your relationship, it always means about you learning something. How, okay, man, I'm seeing myself in this, and how you know, that she helped me become a better man and a better leader and all these things, man. I just, man, I definitely applaud y'all for the way that y'all have went about everything, even up until this point, man. So 2 months, man, it's going to be here.
Hey, man, I'm ready, man. But, you know, I just got to say, you know, like you said, you applaud us, but it's nothing. We're doing nothing great or better than anybody else. It's just the fact that, you know, and me and her always talk about it. Like, we take great. We can take some great Facebook pictures. Like, we take some good pictures. And, you know, we smiling and all of this and everything. We look like oh man, they like got everything together. They probably never argue, never do that. And, you know, it's not always what it looks like on the surface. You know, it is. We are having the time of our life, being engaged, yeah, and being in a relationship with each other. But it's still work. It's still work.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like gets lost a lot of times, especially with social media, because
yeah,
everything is publicized. But none of the bad is publicized. It's only
yeah,
the good picture. You
the
take
highlights.
It from the good side. Yeah, the highlights. And it's that's all it is. And you just said that's all it is. It's a highlight reel. You know, when you go down your timeline on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, it's highlights. It's things you want people to see. But the
yeah,
things that we don't want people to see are the things that really people need to know the most. And not saying we need to expose all of our business, but we need to just be real and say,
yeah,
yeah, like just like me and Michonne, we take good Facebook pictures. You may like it on Facebook, but hey, we have our struggles too, and every relationship does. Every couple that we've talked to, they told us the same thing. It's work. It's probably the hardest thing they've ever had to do because it takes work. And
yeah,
that's why, you know, I can see why the divorce rate in the U.S. is nearly 50%, because it takes work for it to work.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think it was well, I'm not even going to say a name because I'll probably be wrong trying to quote him. But somebody said that anything will work if you do. And, you know, that's exactly it.
That's so true.
Marriage will work if we will. If we're willing to work, our marriage will work. If we're willing to work, then, you know, our education will work for us. And whatever you put it, you tied to, you know, that's what it takes. It takes work. Our Christian walk will work. Our faith will work if we work our faith. And, you know, I want to make sure to point out that, you know, in any relationship, like you said, you know, you applaud us, but it's not, I applaud you. Because, like I said, you were recruiting me long before you even married. And the walk that you walked spoke to me long before you were even married, you were even engaged, before you even knew Stephanie.
Yeah.
And that's what, I applaud that.
Yeah.
I applaud consistency. I applaud, you know, staying with God, not leaving. And, you know, although what I'm doing and what Michonne and I are doing right now and being in a relationship is kind of being seen by others, but at the same time, they don't know where I walk through. They just
yeah,
see all of the bad, all of the gunk coming out, all of the junk and everything that was ungodly.
Yeah.
And so I just want to let everybody know that, hey, anything, you know, it's awesome living for God, but it takes work. It's awesome being engaged, but it takes work. It's awesome being married, but it takes work. It's awesome living your dreams, but your dreams take work.
And that right there is definitely a great segue into the next question I have for you. Like, what do you know, as a young Christian man, as myself, what do you find as the most challenging thing about being a Christian? You know, what do
yeah,
you feel like it's a? I don't want to say the hardest, because I don't want to say it's hard, but just I know there's a lot of different challenges that come with being a Christian. You know, it ain't all just, you know, roses and butterflies, man. There are some things that you have to go through. And so for you, what do you feel is the most challenging thing as a Christian?
Man, You know, I have to. I've been thinking about this, and you know, one of the thing I would say probably is the most challenging as a Christian is not to compare, not to look to the right, not to look to the left, not to look behind you, but to stay to just look at what God, look, to see God in everything. One of the hardest things is to not compare, because it's hard. We just talked about, you know, social media and the highlight reel. And you're constantly seeing, you know, so-and-so doing this, so-and-so doing this, so-and-so serving like this, so-and-so preaching, so-and-so, you know, the youth leader and doing this with the youth and all of this and all these highlights. And you're like, God, am I doing enough?
Yeah.
Or am I not worthy to be doing that same thing? And so that's one of the more challenging things I would say in just being a Christian is to not compare, to have blinders up, and to not allow myself to get caught up in looking to the left and looking to the right. And I can't remember what book I was reading. And, you know, I love quotes, so I get a lot of quotes and I get the people mixed up. That's why I try not to throw names out there. But I was reading and they were saying, you know, that's the worst thing. Oh, it was Pastor Rick Warren in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. But he was saying that, you know, comparison is the worst thing you can do, because you are always, there's really no benefit to it. Because if we're comparing and we see someone doing better, then we feel like we're subpar and we're not doing enough, or we're not worthy that God didn't bless us to be able to do what they're doing. But on the flip side, if we look and we see that somebody's doing worse than us, then it will cause us to kind of resent what we have, what we've accomplished, because we don't want to seem superior to them. And so how does comparing make us really any better? There's really no way. But that's one of the more challenging things in really walking the walk, is not comparing and not looking at others. But even in looking at others, looking, knowing that, okay, that's what God is doing for them, or that's what I see or I think God is doing for them. Some things, some places people are in, some positions people are in, is they put themselves there. It wasn't God putting them there. You know, and some of them, you know, God did open the door for them, and they're doing a wonderful work for Christ. But we don't know. We don't know. All we know is what God is doing in us. All we know is what God is doing in us, and all we can do is our job.
I think that is, I can almost second that as being one of the most challenging things, because, you know, even outside of being a Christian, you know, most of our lives we spend comparing ourselves. I mean, at school, dude, who got the nicest shoes on? When you getting in there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they shoes nicer than mine, so you got to tell your mama, I need these shoes, you know, so you can go back and get them. So social media, Instagram, all you're doing is just posting up things, and you look through all the people's Instagram, they always just showing okay, what they got. And you're like, man, why I don't got that? I mean, working hard enough. I ain't doing this enough or whatever. But, I mean, the exposure to social media has taken that to a whole nother level, not just for people who are not Christians, but for people that are Christians also, man, because sometimes Christians are the biggest flaunters, man, you know, making you feel like you're not doing enough, you know. So I know exactly what you mean with that, man, definitely.
And that's exactly it, man, you know, and it's not just on social media, you know, as like you said, as Christians, that's a challenge, because even in going to church, when we go to church and we go to a program or whatever it may be, and we see other people and they can sing real good, and we're like, man, you know, it's hard not to compare our gifts to their gifts.
Yeah.
And say, well, they're better, they're doing better, or, you know, I'm not as good, or I'm not as gifted. But it's not just limited to social media, it's everyday life. Or just seeing, you know, someone we know is also a believer, also saved, and we see them on the street, and they driving a nicer car than us.
Yeah.
Like, man, I got $5 put in my tank. He over there filling up, Like, what's going on? And, you know, and we're comparing, and it's everything. And just like you said, with the clothes, with the shoes, with the material things, it's hard not to compare. And that's a challenge. But, you know, in like you mentioned before, and you brought up before about Peter. When Peter walked on water, while the time period that he was able to walk on water is because his focus was on Jesus Christ.
Man.
His focus was on Jesus Christ. And there, before he even stepped out of the boat, the Bible tells us that there was a storm going on around him. There was already a storm. The storm didn't start when he stepped out on the water. It was already going on. So in the midst of the storm, because Peter was so focused on Jesus, he was able to accomplish a miracle. He was able to do the same thing Jesus did and walk on water. He was a true reflection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, in my mind and in reading it in Matthew, I kind of picture it like, you know, Peter literally looking in the mirror because, you know, we're supposed to be an image of Christ. But it's like when Peter was walking in the water, he was looking in the mirror, and he was looking at Jesus, and every time Jesus took a step, Peter took a step. And every time Jesus picked up his right leg, Peter picked up his left. And he stepped with the same foot, and he stepped in sync, and he was just doing what he saw Jesus doing because his focus was completely there. But as soon as Peter's focus shifted, he started to sink. And, you know, that's one of the hard things about one of the bad things about comparison is that's when we lose focus on Christ and we begin to sink. We begin to lose that proximity to Christ because we're no longer completely focused on him.
Yeah, that is definitely the truth, man. Definitely the truth. Man, I got one more question for you, man. Like I say, I look at you a lot, man, as my brother, and just like I say, man, you're one of the most faith-filled persons I know, man. Who one of the most focused people I know when it comes to the Christian walk, man. And I know that just didn't happen by accident, man. So, who do you feel, or what person do you feel, or maybe multiple people, do you feel is the biggest influence or mentors in your life so far, man, that has had one of the biggest influence on you as a Christian?
Well, I would definitely say it's a few people, but the main person I would say is my dad. And I say my dad, but it's really my parents, both of them, my mom and my dad. But I say my dad because, you know, of the fact that he's a man, I'm a man. But my parents, they've had the biggest influence on me on my Christian walk because ever since I've known, they've been saved. Ever since I can remember, they've been saved. And not simply saying they're saved, they've been living saved. And, you know, I'm blessed to even be able to say that. And, you know, those two are the people who really shaped me and continue to shape me because they walked it out in front of me so that I could see how it's done in everyday. I can see how it's done in everyday life, not just seeing them do it at church or on Sunday or on Wednesday night, but literally every day when we leave church, when somebody get on their nerves, when somebody cutting them off in traffic, when, you know, the lights are off and when we ain't got no food and, you know, in those times still being faithful. In those times not drifting from what they say they believe on Sunday, but it's Tuesday, we don't have no light, and they still believe the same thing. And they still praying just as hard. They still have the same type of faith regardless of the condition. And in seeing that, you know, that showed me, hey, it can be done. It can be done. And a lot of times, you know, I've come to realize that most times when people say something can't be done is because they can't do it or they've never seen it done. And when people say you can't live for Christ, it's because they never really seen somebody do it or they don't feel like they can do it. But I've seen it. And so by me seeing it in my parents, that gave me strength and reassurance to know that, hey, I can do it too. And that's why it's so important for us to put feet to our faith, to live what we believe, live what we say and claim to believe, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is our Savior, that we do love him, and that we do obey him. Put feet to our faith, because our walk, we don't know how our walk, who's looking at us. We don't know who's watching us, how our walk is affecting the next person. You didn't know your walk was affecting me when you were in high school.
And I'm telling you, man, because it's always someone else is looking at you for the example. You know, I remember growing up in church, man. I used to always look at this one guy, man. His name was Deacon Run. He probably didn't even know to this day that I was watching him, but he always was the standard for me of how a man should behave or act in church, you know. And he was, man, he didn't dance or anything like that, you know, but he would cry at the drop of a hat, man.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I picked that up, man. Like, whenever the spirit was high in service, I would cry. I didn't have a dance or nothing like that, but I would always cry. So, man, you never know who is actually watching you, who you think is paying no attention to you. And also, that also goes with the, man, how important it is, especially as a Christian, because, man, sometimes people look at it, so many rules and so many things I can't do and not do or whatever, that it's good to have the example of how this is how it actually looks. This is how I really looks to walk it out, to live it out. So, man, that is such a blessing for you to, you know, to have that in your own household, man, like with both of your parents.
And it is, man. It truly is a blessing, because anytime you think about school, anytime the teacher is teaching you something new, they give you an example.
Yeah.
They put an example on the board. They give you examples on the worksheet. They give you examples and they point out why it works, why it doesn't work, why it's right, why it's wrong. And so that's why it's important for us to have examples of what living for Christ lives like. What walking with Christ and obeying Christ looks like in everyday life in a practical sense. It's on Sunday at church, not just at a Bible study, not just when you're around your saved friends, but when you're around the people who cuss every other word, the people who are always thinking, always smoking, but you still live what you believe. And, you know, just like it's important to have that example, but I love the quote by Mahatma Gandhi that says, be the change you want to see.
Yeah.
So even if you don't have that example, be that example. Be that change. Be that example for the next person, because you know how hard it was for you to walk with Christ when you didn't have it. And so I just want to take this time to offer to anybody out there who's listening, if you want to accept Christ, and if you've had that example and you're realizing that you had that perfect example in front of you and you have reassurance now that you can do it, or if you've never had that example and you want to be the change you want to see, now is the perfect time. Thursday is the best time. This is the best night. There's no better night than right now. There's no better time than right now than to welcome Christ into your heart, to welcome it into everything that you're doing. And whoever listens, wherever you are, whatever age, whatever race, whatever your background, you know, God forgives all. All you have to do is repent. All you have to do is believe. And I just ask that you would repeat this prayer with me and just accept Christ into your heart, whoever you are, wherever you are. Just repeat this prayer with me. Let's go to God in prayer. I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, hey, we want to be the first one to congratulate you. Welcome you to the team. Welcome to the fam.
Welcome.
Hey, welcome to the fam. It's because we get stronger. You know, we always heard there's strength in numbers, and there really is. That's why we're not meant to walk this Christian walk alone. You know, the Bible tells us that we are just a part of the body. We all play a different part. We all have different roles. But even in that, you know, just like with Simeon tonight, him stepping in of the role of guest, as a role of guest, of guest host, and me being the guest and flipping the script. You know, that was his role tonight. And he stepped in, he was available, and he did it. But he did it knowing that God empowered him to do it. Mm-hmm. And he did a great job. And because we're teams, I didn't leave him out. I didn't hang him out to dry and just tell him, okay, you do everything. And he didn't do the same thing to me because we're teammates. Because we both committed to the same team. And for all of those who just repeated that prayer, you made that commitment. You made the verbal commitment. But when it comes to any commitment, you have to sign on the dotted line. You have to make it binding. And the way you do that is in the life that you live every single day. The life that you live every single day. Because we are at war. We are at war against the enemy, at war against the devil. And these are the last and evil days. We're looking at you know, everything that's ungodly in our face on TV. All week, everything has been talking about Bruce Jenner. Everything. Yeah. Everything about Bruce Jenner. And every time, literally last night, I turned on the TV, I flipped through three channels, there's literally homosexual shows on homosexual, something homosexual on every show. And,
yeah.
You know, I know that they're a sinner just like me. But at the end of the day, I don't condone sin. I can't, because the Bible tells me that I should hate sin. That light and dark doesn't mix. And if I'm supposed to be light, it can't mix. I can't mix with that. But, you know, I want them to accept Christ. I pray for Bruce Jenner. I pray for everybody, even those who suffer from other sins. I have my own sin struggles. But God forgives all. And
yes.
He forgives all. And I'm excited for all of you who have accepted Christ tonight. And it's just, I mean, it's amazing what God is doing. It's amazing what God is capable of doing if we let him, if we allow him. And it's, Simeon, I just want to thank you, man.
I want to thank you, man, because I'm telling you, this is such an honor, man. It's such a like I said, a privilege just to, you know, step in this seat, man. You know, you do it every week, man. Make it look easy. You know, I'm over here sweating bullets. So, man, I really do appreciate, you know, allowing me to be the host and you being the guest and being open as you always are and being 100% real like you always are. So, man, the honor is all mine, bro. Definitely.
And like we always say, iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. And that's what we're supposed to do. We help friends, you know, we help each other out. And that's what it is. We're teammates. Teammates, man. We on the squad. We just had more people join the squad.
Yep.
But
we deep now. So I just want to give you this chance right now, man, just to let people know how they can get in contact with you, you know, social media-wise or whatever, you know, if you want to get your phone number out, just however way you want people to contact you, what's the best way, man?
Oh, man, you know, man, the best way to contact your boy is you can hit me up on Twitter or on Instagram. Follow me at @soul_fisherman, @soul_fisherman on Twitter and Instagram, and then you can follow me on Facebook, add me on Facebook, look me up, just search me, and you'll find me there. Or you can just shoot me an email at Adrian, @AdrianReese.com, Adrian@AdrianReese.com. And you can reach me in either of those ways. Just reach me, holler at me, and let's connect. Let's connect and let's empower the team.
Yeah, definitely, man. And also, you think one thing you forgot to mention, man, you know, every Wednesday on your blog that you post a new post for your blog on every Wednesday, man. And they're always, man, inspiring, thought-provoking, and, man, it's definitely a blessing every Wednesday, man. I look forward to them.
Man, and, you know, I don't want to be bragging, man, but it's really
hey, that was your time to shine, man. That was your time to shine.
But, yeah, man, and, you know, I do post a blog every Wednesday at AdrianReese.com. You can check it out every Wednesday. I post a new one. But it's all God. It's just like this show. It's not my fault. It's God's fault. God gave it to me.
Yeah.
He opened the door for me. All I did was step in and try to be a vessel. And that's what I try to do every week, just allow God to use me in whatever way he sees fit. But how can people get in touch with you, Tim?
Oh, man, I ain't as socially active as you is, man, but I got a few spots, man. y'all can reach me on Facebook, you know, Facebook / Simeon, Simeon Witten, Witten. I usually post something like every day or every other day or something like that, man. Try to be inspiring and motivational, too. And I'm just now starting to get on Instagram a little bit, man. So you can get me on Instagram at @the_do_graders on Instagram. You can follow me on there. And also my email address is Rashad, R-A-S-H-O-D, Witten, Witten, @gmail.com. So I'm going to the best ways to get in contact with you, man.
And there you have it. You know, hit them up on Instagram, Facebook. You can email them, my man. If you need some real, if you need some insurance, hey, holler at him. He got you.
Hey,
I'm
real.
With him. I'm with him. He got you. And so, but like I said, once again, I just want to thank you, Simeon, for being on the show, for being the host, and for allowing me to be your guest. But, you know, there's been this. You've been tuned into The Recruit with Simeon Witten tonight and Adrian Reese, and brought to you by Sword Radio. Big ups to my man, PDP Richardson. But until next time, we'll be back same time next Thursday. But until then, be blessed and be real.